Heavenly Father, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we are grateful to you. You said from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name will be praised all over the world. So Heavenly Father, we are here to give you praise, to give you thanks, Lord, because you are governor among the nations, king over all kings, Lord over all lords. Our world is moving so many parts, moving right now, so much uncertainty, but we declare you remain the same. Your power is limitless. Your wisdom is limitless. Your ability to save is not diminished. So today, Heavenly Father, we receive your power on everyone that is a part of this service, wherever they may be. Let the power of your Spirit engage them right now, spirit, soul, body, and Heavenly Father. Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, paying the price for sin and knocking out the consequences for sin, we declare deliverance, freedom, healing, as we go on through this service, in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of the curse is broken. The power of the blessing starts. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. All right. So, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be, all over the world, participating in this service. Thank you for joining us, whatever the platform may be, maybe social media, maybe TV, maybe radio, online, or terrestrial. Thank you for joining us. All right, so this month in Daystar Christian Center, we are exploring our relationship with God and how it is structured. So our theme for the month is the covenant works. Let's read from Numbers 23 and verse 19 from the New Living Translation. Numbers 23 verse 19, New Living Translation. It says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? I'll title this specific message, The Ultimate Promise Keeper. The Ultimate Promise Keeper. And you have an idea who I'm talking about. If someone makes a promise to you, what determines the level of your trust in the person's capacity to fulfill the promise? This is important, okay? People can make promises to you, and I guess people have made promises to you, like people have made promises to me, and I have made promises to people too. But the point is, how confident are you in the ability of the person that made the promise to fulfill the promise? This reminds me of a story I have shared before of what happened to me. It was within the first year of Daystar Christian Center. And I mean, the situation was so rough. We started our services at a restaurant on Allen Avenue, Ikeja, Lagos. It was on the four floors up, right? And then we began to, it wasn't convenient. Let me say, it was not convenient to pay the rent weekly. So we moved into a rundown mansion, you know. And when we moved into the mansion, we did not even have money to furnish it. So we would rent tables and chairs every week. Gratefully, a lady in church, beautiful lady in church, gave us a desk and chair. Used desk and chair. That was what I had for my desk and chair at the office. And then we had this metal table, okay, or iron table and iron chair that we rented, and that was my sweetheart's table and chair because we used the master bedroom for office. The colors were funny. We could not even change the colors. So one of those days, you know, I was alone, you know, right inside that office. And I must tell you, for once, I was concerned about the future. The future just then seemed uncertain. So I turned it into a conversation with the Holy Spirit. I said, Lord, this is not looking like the vision that you showed me before we started. I saw a beautiful church. I saw people dressed, you know, in beautiful attires, you know. But this is not looking like it. I said, Lord, if we continue at this pace, it might take us like 500 years to get to that picture that I saw. And what I saw was supposed to happen in my lifetime. You know? And as I was praying, then I just had this spontaneous thing to turn into the Bible, look into the Bible, and search for the answer. And it was the book of Isaiah that was inspired to my heart. And a phrase, you know, came to my mind. So I went to check it out, and there it was. Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 11. And I remember that I was reading in the King James Version of the Bible that particular day. So permit me to read this from the King James Version, Isaiah 46, verses 9 to 11. It says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it. I will also do it. And as I was reading, you know, those verses and phrases were exploding in my heart. You know, as it were, God was speaking to me directly. It was no longer what was written now. It was what was being said to me. So let me explain how it was coming to me. So the first part, God speaking, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none beside me. And there, I just felt like God was bragging. You know, I felt like God was bragging. I have no competition. There is nobody else beside me. I'm in a class all by myself. Okay, now. Then he says, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Now, this is it. This is the core. This is the core of it. God is saying here, I have the solution to your problem. Your problem is the future. It's threatening to you. It's threatening to you. You're afraid. If things continue the way they're going, they might not end well. You know, you're beginning to despair. Listen, that's the problem of human nature, isn't it? The future. Now that things are moving the way they're going in our world, so uncertain, you know, we're afraid. Some people are finding it difficult to see beyond 1 week. Some people actually never think beyond a week anyway. And everything, you know, we began the year with plans, with programs. Our diaries are filled. We filled events. I speak at events all over the world, okay? I speak at events all over the world. And then all of a sudden, everything comes to a standstill. I have never seen anything like this before. You know, I mean, so my brother was sharing with me, you know, my niece, like I was saying the other time, was saying, Daddy, I have never seen anything like this in my life before. He said, you know what? I also have never seen anything like this before. Then I said to him, her granddad has also never seen anything like this before. Airlines grounded, airports closed. It's phenomenal. So when you have a scenario like that, then thinking about the future becomes really threatening. It becomes something you don't even want to do. People are locked down, you know. We have cities locked down now. We're locked down in our homes. And, you know, when they announce those lockdowns, they say, oh, for the next 14 days, oh, for the next. The reality is, sincerely speaking, they don't even know when that's going to end. So in many places now, they've extended the first time. In some places, they've extended the second time. Where's all this going? But here we have someone bragging. He says, I declare the end from the beginning. Even before you start, I can tell you where everything is going to end. He says, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done. When there's even no sign at all anything is going to happen, he says, I'm going to tell you where it's going. I'll tell you where it's going to end. Oh my God. So you can just imagine what was going on in my heart that day. He said, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Whichever way this goes, whatever the virus wants to do, whatever is going to happen, sincerely speaking, there's one person that is bragging today, I will decide where everything ends. And I remember that day, you know, as I meditated on this, the Spirit of God was saying to me, look, I can tell you the end from the beginning because there's nobody that can stop me in between. No one can stop me in between. Anyway, let's go on. So he says, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executes my counsel from a far country. So that day he reminded me that the bird that took food to Elijah the prophet during the time of famine was called the raven. So his end, I had heard then that the raven was a stingy bird and things like that. So the Spirit of God said to me, listen to me. When you are on my assignment, when I'm the one that made a promise to you, he said, I can use the stingiest person in your city to give you money or whatever you need. I am God. He says, and the man that executes my counsel from a far country said, you know what that means? If nobody around you will cooperate with you to fulfill the assignment that I gave you, he said, I will import people to come get the job done. Wow. Wow. So, I don't know about you, but for me, the barriers were falling down. The barriers, the limitations were falling down. My excuses were dying. There is absolutely nothing. I'm saying that to you today. There is absolutely nothing that can stop God from fulfilling his plans for your life. Let me read the last part. He says, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have proposed it. I will also do it. So the Holy Spirit said to me, take note of the eyes in that verse. So I took my pen and circled the eyes. I have spoken it. I also will bring it to pass. I have proposed it. I will also do it. He said, did you notice that you don't even show up in that verse at all? I said, oh. He said, exactly. If I proposed it, I will bring it to pass. If I said it, I will do it. It's me. So he said, get out of my way. See, get out of God's way. You know, he said to me, you don't have the capacity to do what I want to do. If I wrote there, I have spoken it, you will do it. He said, I'll just kill you. He said, because you don't have the capacity to do it. So when I am the one that said it, then I am the one that can do it. Just line up behind me. Yes, sir. Okay. So that day, confidence exploded in my spirit, exploded in my heart. So I want to say to you, God has a plan for your life. And when you align with God, when you align with God, He's going to fulfill His promises to you. So, you trust someone can fulfill a promise by the person's capacity to fulfill the promise. Can they afford it? God can afford it. So you can have your total confidence in God. The question you want to ask yourself when someone makes a promise to you is, will the person even still be around to fulfill the promise? A human can make a promise to you right now and be dead by tomorrow morning. Our God cannot die. He'll still be around to fulfill the promises that He has made to you. I want to say to you today that God cannot lie. He is not a man. He's not human. He's God, the ultimate promise keeper, ultimate creator. He cannot lie, because when He says something, it is created. His creative power is in His word. So when He gives you a promise, that promise becomes a spiritual reality instantly. And then it's just a matter of time. It comes into fulfillment in the physical world. See what God did here in Jeremiah 33, verses 20 to 21, New Living Translation. God tied the stability of His promises to the stability of our planet. Jeremiah 33, verses 20 and 21, New Living Translation. This is what the Lord says. If you can break my covenant with the day and the night so that one does not follow the other, only then will my covenant with my servant David be broken. Only then will he no longer have a descendant to reign on his throne. The same is true for my covenant with the Levitical priests who minister before me. Isn't that amazing? God makes a promise. And then God says, listen, the day some power from anywhere can stop the sun from rising or stop the sun from setting, disrupt the planetary systems, push the earth out of its orbit, okay, throw the moon away, push the sun away. He said, the day that happened, he said, that's the day my covenant with David will not be fulfilled. That day, accept there's a power beyond mine that can shift things. But until then, my promises will be fulfilled. You can go to the bank on that. My promises will be fulfilled. So listen to me. Every day when I wake up, find myself still on this planet, right? Find out that I am still on this planet. I see the sun rising, or I see sunrise. Thank you, Jesus. I'm excited. I'm happy. The power has not yet been invented that can stop God's promises from being fulfilled in my life that day. I'm telling you, this thing is powerful. This thing is powerful. So, God wants you to have absolute confidence in Him. He wants you to have absolute faith in Him that His promises to you will be fulfilled. So, see what He did with Abraham. To get Abraham to the point where Abraham would believe absolutely that his promises would be fulfilled, God got to the point where he swore to Abraham. When somebody gets to the point where they're swearing, wow. Genesis 22, verses 15 to 18. Genesis 22, 15 to 18, New Living Translation. Then the angel of the Lord called again to Abraham from heaven. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son, your only son, I swear by my own name that I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number, like the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will conquer the cities of their enemies, And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Wow. God swears over Abraham. I swear. Oh my God. Wow. Wow. Okay. So, Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 to 20, New Living Translation. I'll let the Bible speak for itself, describing this situation later on, many years later. It says, for example, there was God's promise to Abraham. Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name, saying, I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Then Abraham waited patiently, and he received what God had promised. Now, when people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. And without any question, that oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received the promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Amazing. So, Jesus tested God's faithfulness by yielding himself to die. That was the covenant, that was the agreement. He laid down his life with confidence in God that God would raise him the third day. God did his part. Your situation will not be God's opportunity, God's first opportunity to lie. God will never lie. He will never lie to you. He will never lie to me. He raised Christ from death. Jesus has gone ahead of us. Okay? So, the Bible says here, we have God's promise. And then we have God's oath. He swore. And I remember when I had graduated and was searching for a job as an engineer and could not get a job. Like a joke. 1 year, 6 months, you know, 6 months, 1 year, 1.5 years. I despaired. The future was looking bleak. It was like all the doors were closed, you know. And I remember the night that I went with a friend to the church. We prayed. And then the agreement was we'll pray for about an hour. And then each person would sit with the Bible to study. And as I sat down, you know, I could just feel that presence, you know, and was asking, what should I read? I said to study Abraham. I went to Genesis 22, and as I was reading, then I got to the passage that we read earlier, where God said by myself, I swear in blessing, I will bless you. The moment I said that, you know, something just exploded in my heart. Swearing? God swearing? That someone will be blessed. I said, Lord, swear over me. Swear over me. If you swear on my life like that, swear about my future like that, then I'm good. Then I heard the voice of God's Spirit in my heart saying, I can swear over you, but can I ask you to do what Abraham did? And I thought, okay, wait. I sat down, went, Genesis 22. God gave Abraham an instruction. Crazy instruction. To sacrifice. I said, oh my God. Okay. Lord, there is nothing I will ever have that I will not put down at any time T that you need it. God was calling me into an agreement, calling me into a covenant lifestyle. When you're in a blood covenant with someone, your two lives become one. What belongs to you belongs to the other person if the other person ever needs it. What belongs to the other person belongs to you. People would cut such covenants before for protection. So the strong one can provide protection for the weak. God himself introduced the covenant to Abraham in Genesis 15. You can read that later. And God was asking me to come into that covenant. So that day I put my life down and God matched it. And this faith and confidence came in my heart. So I want to ask you, what's the state of your relationship with God right now? He's the one that can guarantee your future. And he will, sincerely speaking, before the first man ever got on this planet, God had a plan for your life. He will fulfill it. Are you ready? Bow your head with me and let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Can you talk to God right now? Can you talk to God right now and tell him you want a relationship with him? It's you and him right now. The greatest source of separation between us and God is sin. And God so loves us, he knows we can never come out of sin. We can't deal with it. That's why he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us. Jesus has paid. All God wants us to do is to ask him for forgiveness. So can you just ask, Lord, forgive me my sins and remove the nature of sin from me. Put your own nature in me. If you're saying that prayer right now, can you please put your hand on your heart? I'd like to pray with you before I pray with everybody else. God bless you. My relationship with God is not okay. I can't even say that I and God are okay. Okay, I'm a sinner. But right now, I want that relationship. I want my future guaranteed, not only on this planet, but even after this lifetime. God bless you. If your hand is on your heart, can you please say this prayer after me? Dear God, I believe that Jesus paid for my sins. I ask you to forgive me and to accept me as your child. Thank you for hearing my prayer. In Jesus' name, let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you. It's a simple step, but Lord, it's a big deal because Jesus said there's joy in heaven among the angels when this happens. So Heavenly Father, thank you for this miracle of change for our brothers and sisters because their sins are forgiven and the nature of sin is removed from them. Your own nature is put in them now through the power of your spirit. Thank you for this miracle of change. In Jesus' name, amen.